Well, good morning again. Lord, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, for this beautiful day. We thank you, Lord, for this place that you provided that we can assemble together, Lord, and worship you. What an amazing God we serve. You hold everything in the palm of your hands. And you love us. You love us. Some of us haven't always been very lovable, Lord. But you love us. You love us because it's who you are. Thank you, Lord, for who you are. Thank you, Lord, for forgiving our sins. Thank you, Lord, for providing the atonement, the sacrifice for us. Thank you, Lord, for providing your word. And we ask you, Lord, that you would open your word this morning that we can receive it. Open our hearts. Lord, help us to hold it in our hearts. We need your word constantly, Lord. Open heaven for us, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our opening scripture this morning was Psalms chapter 8. I'm going to read verses 3 and 4. I probably won't keep you very long today. Should be out of here by 1. No, actually, at 1:30. Actually, it's probably going to be a little bit shorter. I don't know. Unless I get a strong wind behind me, right? That could happen. When I consider the heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? Why would God have anything to do with us? Better yet, why would God have anything to do with me? I can't get that over there. There it is. God has a plan. Before the foundation of the world, God had a plan that involved every one of us. If you think God doesn't have a plan for you, think again. His word says he does. Psalm 16:11, thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Thou wilt show me the path of life. When's he going to show us the path of life? When he wants to. He's kind of like that, isn't he? Psalm 139:3. Thou compassest my path and my lying down and art acquainted with all my ways. God has a plan. Jeremiah 29:11, I know there's someone in here, that's their favorite verse. Might be a couple of them. The King James Version says, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. The word thoughts can be translated, and it is in other translations, plans. In fact, I don't normally make reference to the Living Translation, but I'm going to read it out of the Living Translation because I really like it. Jeremiah 29:11, once again. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. It's all we really need to know, isn't it? It's all we need to know. Isaiah 55:8-9. For my thoughts, or plans, are not your thoughts, or plans. Neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts, or plans, than your thoughts, or plans. You notice I added plans into that. As I said, thoughts can be translated plans. God's plans for us. God's plans are higher than we can imagine. Does God have a plan for you? Do you know what it is? Or do you have your own plan? There's a way that seems right to a man, but the end result is death. That's in Proverbs twice. And what does it mean when God repeats himself? Pay attention. Pay attention anyway. But if he's repeating himself, it's for emphasis. And he repeats, he says that twice. Exact same words. Do we make our own plans? What happens when we make our own plans? James 4, 13 through 15. Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It's even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanishes away. For that you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. Of course, we probably should be willing to accept whatever his plans are, shouldn't we? Sometimes they get confusing. Somebody says we don't have any choice. He's going to do what he wants to do anyway, isn't he, Rita? And what should we remember about his plans and what he does and what he allows us to go through? Romans 8:28. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. It's all good. Be thankful for all things, for this the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Psalm 139, 16. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. Before the foundation of the world, he had us written in his book. Before the foundation of the world, he knew everything was going to happen. He knew everything that he was going to. He knew all his plans. Psalm 37:23. You notice I'm reading a lot of scripture. I should have more than I do. No. Psalm 37:23. The steps of a good man or a righteous man are ordered by the Lord. Each step, every event, every detail, everything that happens is just a step towards the next thing that happens. Which in turn is one more step. And each one prepares us for the next one. Sounds like God's working in us, doesn't he? And that's okay with me. Does God deal with everybody the same? There's a beautiful song that I love. It is no secret what God can do. What he's done for others, he'll do for you. I love that song, but it's not accurate. What he has done for others, he can do for you. You know, it's kind of up to him, isn't it? He doesn't deal with everybody the same way. Moses was 120 years. It says in Deuteronomy that his eyes, when he died, were not dim, nor his natural force abated. According to Jewish tradition, God had to literally suck the breath right out of his lungs. He was alive. And God said, nope, you're not going to live any longer. Joshua, same thing, right? Well, not exactly. Joshua was 110 years old when he died, and it says in Joshua 23:1 that he waxed old and stricken in age. He was worn out. Speaking of worn out, look at David at 70 when he died. Does God always show us his plans? Do we always know his plans? Paul, in Acts chapter 9, we see Paul's encounter with somebody on the road to Damascus. He gets knocked to the ground. Who are you, Lord? I'm Jesus, whom you're persecuting. He was blinded. God spoke to a man named Ananias, and he said, go to a street called Straight, to a house of a man named Judas, and pray for Saul of Tarsus that he would regain his sight. Of course, Ananias said, Lord, this man, he's been an enemy of the church. He's done bad things. I think God knew everything that Paul had done. What does God say? He's a chosen vessel of mine. He will share the gospel to the Gentiles, to kings, and to the children of Israel. He's a chosen vessel. If you're a Christian, you're a chosen vessel of the Lord. Then Acts says something very interesting. It says, for I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. You'd think that'd be kind of a killer, you know, the whole thing, wouldn't it? It would just, how'd you like to know everything you suffer? And yet Paul got to see it. Read 2 Corinthians chapter 11, where it talks about Paul's light affliction, which is but for a moment. And I've shared that before, and there's an awful lot that he went through. He was showed all of it. All the shipwrecks, the beatings. You know what? God knew he could handle it. Abraham. Genesis 12:1, now the Lord has said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. To a land I will show you. But didn't he know where he was going? Hebrews 11:8, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. Like the children of Israel in the wilderness, just following that cloud, that pillar of fire. Speaking of the children of Israel, Moses. Hebrews 11:23, it says, by faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith, they saw. Does that sound right? Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God, and we walk by faith, not by sight, but by faith. They saw. There's only one explanation I can come up with for that. Yeah, they saw, but in the meantime, God was speaking to them and telling them exactly what this child was. It wasn't a matter of this is a beautiful baby. So obviously he's going to save the children of Israel from bondage. No. I believe they told Moses' parents exactly what Moses was going to do. It has to be by faith. It comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Acts chapter 7 says that Moses was, as a baby, was fair. Exodus 2 says he was goodly. God spoke to them something about that child. There's a lot in those words. How about Joseph? Did Joseph have any idea what was going to happen to him? Did he know God's plan for his life? He did have some dreams to a certain extent that told him what was going to happen. But he probably didn't expect that he would be sold into slavery and then thrown into prison and then be let out of prison and become the second most highest, hold the second most highest office in Egypt. I mentioned suddenlies earlier. Linda used to use that word a lot. You had a suddenly. Joseph had a suddenly. It happened suddenly. If you're waiting for God to do something for you, guess what? God will do it, but he's going to do it suddenly. He's going to come soon. Soon means suddenly. When we least expect it, all of a sudden it's going to be there, and God's amazing. David. David was anointed the next future king. But did he know what was going to happen before he took office? He hid in caves for 12 years. He fought a lot of battles. Then there's me. Oh, I'm no Abraham, I'm no Paul, I'm no Moses, I'm no Joseph, I'm no David. I'm just a jailhouse preacher that somehow ended up in courtside after spending a half a million miles traveling across the country in a truck. Why? Why not? We heard that a couple of weeks ago, didn't we? Why not? Was it my idea? Or was it God's? You know, when I first came here, somebody asked me if what was God's plan in my life. I said, I don't know. Well, I can't believe you don't know God's plan for your life. I don't know what that was. Oh well, it's empty. Now, I don't believe, looking back on it now, that any of it was my idea. I remember being in Gridley, California. I spent 2 years there after I got out of the truck. Actually, I got back into a truck after that. And then, anyway, that was after I stopped driving for USA Truck too. But I knew that I was going to retire because I was unemployed. And it was time for me to retire. I could retire. And I was outside wondering where I was going to go, what I was going to do. And I felt it impressed on me because there was a bird on a little fence post there. And it was impressed on me that I was going to go in whatever direction that bird took when he flew. Was that God? I believe it was. I thought if it goes south, I'm going to Sacramento. My brother lives there. If it goes north, I'm going to Oregon because that's where I came from. He went southwest. What? What's there? Oh, Phoenix. That's where my daughter lives. Okay, I'll go there. You know, it's kind of like flipping a coin, but you know what? Does God control coin flips? You know, in the Bible, they talk about casting lots. I think you need to pray about it first, though. Have you ever argued with God about what he wants you to do? I stood on a street corner one night arguing with him. I was out for a walk. I was going downtown. He wanted me to go in the other direction. I stood there arguing with him on a street corner. Okay, Lord, I'll do what you want. He wanted me to go visit a friend. And I don't know what came about from that. But I know because of my obedience, my friend was happy to see me, and a few days later, he brought me several pounds of elk meat, which what happens when we argue with God? Aren't we trying to remake God in an image from our own mold that we create? Arise, Peter, kill and eat. And what did Peter say? Not so, Lord. Literally, no, Lord. Arise, Peter, kill and eat. No, Lord. How can you say no and Lord in the same sentence? Yet we do that, don't we? But each step leads to the next one. And in the meantime, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths, or he shall order your steps. He's continually preparing us for what's next. But remember, Philippians 1, 6, being confident of this one, this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. He's working in you because he has a purpose for you, because he has a plan for you. Aren't you glad God has a plan for you? Aren't you glad God knows what that plan is? Because that's what it says. I know the plans I have for you. Thank you, Lord, that you do order our steps. Thank you, Lord, that you watch over us and you guide us and you lead us in ways, Lord, that we grow in you. Lord, I pray that you'd seal your word in our hearts this morning. Lord, help us to stay focused on you. Help us to trust in you. Help us to stay close to you. Because, Lord, as the times get darker, we need you more and more. Keep us close to you, Lord, please. Thank you, Lord, this morning for your word. And thank you, Lord, for your presence here this morning. Be with each one of us, Lord, and bring us back safely when we meet again. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you all for coming. That concludes our service.